Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
All right. Welcome you to the Wednesday Warriors Book Club, where we are studying the 14 events that brought us Christ and Christianity into the world. Amen? And of course, we are still studying your favorite book, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum, written by the one and only Dr. Paula Price. I want to officially welcome you here today. Okay? Amen, amen. Glad you decided to join us and be a part of tonight's session. We've got some great things to talk about. I wish I could tell you where it was going to go, but you see, last week, I was planning on talking about man being created on, whether man was created on earth or not. And somehow we ended somewhere else. I blame Prophet Adia. And I blame the prophets. I blame all you prophets on Periscope. You know, y'all just take us into realms and places we're not trying to always go. All right, but seriously speaking, I think that God wanted to deliver a word because of the time and season we are in as a people, as a church, and as he is literally getting ready to ignite these mantles called apostolic and prophetic, really begin to ignite those things as he's ready to start his recovery plan in the earth. So God is doing some amazing things. If you are prophetic, you need to know that that is the Lord literally pressing you and pushing you and lighting you up on fire in the season, because he's ready to ignite his actions. He's ready to play his hand. The enemy has played his hand, and Dr. Price has been saying this on her Periscope as well. She let us know some heavy things at the event, but God is ready to play his hand. And guess what? That hand is us, the fivefold. That's us. He's ready to play his hand. And just when the enemy thinks that he has God pinned into a corner. You know what I love about that is that the enemy always thinks he has God pinned into a corner, like in the garden. Like he completely thought he had God pinned into the corner. And then what does the enemy find out? When the last Adam comes, that he's been playing him, that God's been playing Satan. He said, how in the world are you going to use me? God will use his enemies to accomplish his plan. Nothing will stop the word of the Lord. He will use his enemies to accomplish his plan. I think y'all need to think about that. Oh, yeah? Because we've been taught forever that the enemy is out of God's control, and he's not. Never forget that there's nothing in creation that's out of God's control. If there's one thing out of God's control, it means that he's not Alpha and Omega, he's not the beginning and the end, and he can't be the Lord of all. See, Lord of all means all. That includes the enemy, that includes the foes, that includes everything in creation. Lord of all. The sun, the moon, the stars. Come on here, you have a pantheon of gods out there who take responsibility for why we have the sun, the moon, the stars. What do you guys think, okay, fertility rites are all about? These rituals that we now have come to just, you know, become commonplace and common practice in the planet, praise the Lord. They become common practice, they become commonplace. And so what do you think that that was all about? These were gods who got humanity to believe that they were over certain elements in creation. Well, if you want it to rain, what if you want the sun? Well, if you want your crops to grow, if you want the ground to produce, there were gods of fertility, there were gods of the sun. We got the sun god, we had the moon god, did we not? So that's why when Jesus comes talking about himself being Lord of all, oh, come on here, the God of all creation, there's not one element in creation that he doesn't have authority over. Oh, think about that today. Because, see, we say those things as praise and worship, you know, hooks and, all right, is it true? Those are our moments of homage to the king, our moments of worship. But those moments of worship were God's reality. God's testimony that we sing about in those songs and those hymns and all of that is God's reality. Oh, come on. Ain't nobody, the prophet, I don't know if anybody appreciated that on today. But they're God's reality. Your worship is God's testimony. testimony. It's God's reality. It's what he lived. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I don't know. Stacy, did you get it? You got to start calling on names when you're in a place like this, Periscope. I know some of my faithful watchers out there. Did you get it? You know, I think about those that watch every week. I say Della, Carol, did y'all get it? See, these are my faithful preset. He got it. Come on, Brian, did you get it? All right. So I want to know if you got it. Recognizing that when you sing your worship, you are literally describing the events and moments of God's reality, his victories, his triumphs, his wars, his press, his stand, his push to fight to get creation to be what he wanted it to be. Oh, come on. God of all creation and water, earth, and sky. Come on, why are we singing that? Because that's not just something for us to have a melody and for us to come on and have something to do on a Sunday morning. We're reminding creation. Oh, come on. We're reminding creation the God they serve, the testimony he has, why he's still in his seat of power when he had one-third try to take him out. Oh, come on today. If that was a king in the natural, you would have a lot of things to say about him. His fame would go out across the earth if he was able to defeat all of his enemies like that. Oh, come on in this place today. When God says he's the God of all creation, oh, come on in here. He had to earn that. We don't think that God had to earn those titles. The Most High God, the Almighty God, the God of all creation, the maker of heaven and earth. Oh, come on, the King of the Kings. He had to earn those titles. This wasn't a cakewalk for him either. You know, I had somebody ask me the other day, why is, you know, bad things happening to good people? I submit to you today, why are bad things happening to a good God? He was the first person to experience something wrong happen to him when he did nothing but try to bring something in creation, create a society that people can live in, create a world that people can have peace and safety and they're not content with. He was the originator of something bad happening to a good person. What did he do to earn Satan's rebellion? Oh, come on in this place today. What did your God do to earn Satan's rebellion? So when you think about you going through because of this creature and bad things happening to you unsolicited, think about your God. We have a faithful high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Why? Because he didn't just live it on earth as Jesus Christ. He lived that thing in heaven as God Almighty first. He had to do this thing twice to bring his world together. The first time he was betrayed wasn't in Gethsemane with Judas. It was in heaven with Lucifer walking out of his throne. You got to understand that you're not living anything in the flesh, that they didn't live in the spirit first. You're not an anomaly, that sin would also try to destroy your life and destroy your soul like it did the heavens. That's not an anomaly. You're not a victim of something that God wasn't a victim of first and that he had to defeat in his own world to guarantee you eternal life and eternal life abundantly. Not just eternal life for you living in heaven and living in hell in this environment. Living in this condition forever. No, he promised you something better. But he had to defeat the enemy to get better. He couldn't promise you something he didn't first clean out himself. I can't promise you a world where there is no sorrow, where there is no sadness, where you're going to be walking on streets of gold. If I didn't first get out, what was trying to corrupt it? What was trying to pollute it? What was trying to destroy it? You can't promise somebody the land of the free and the home of the brave if you're not going to defeat the enemies that want to destroy that and keep that from you. Oh, come on in this place today. A lot of times we ask these questions, trying to vilify God, and we forgot that he was the first person to face off with the villain. How can God? And God's attitude is, how could he? You think that what you're going through on earth is Satan's first rodeo. You think that the first time of you experiencing sickness, disease, death, tragedy, loss, and all of that was his first time crossing somebody. It's not his first time. You're not his first victim. his maker. And we think we're going through something strange. Why could Peter rather say, think it not strange, the fiery trials? Why? Because that fire originated in heavenly places. Why do you think he's giving you the keys to heavenly places? Oh, come on in here today. Why do you think he's giving you the keys to heavenly places? So that you would have the same power and authority and access to destroy the works of the devil that tried to take them out. See, he already knows what you're facing. He didn't just say, woe to the earth and then leave it. He said, woe to the earth and then I'm coming. Oh, y'all didn't catch it. Why? Because he needs every aspect of everything he made in creation to be able to defeat his enemy. If there's one element in creation that can't defeat his enemy, then guess what? His world will always be under attack and always under threat. So the angels were the first aspect of God's creation that defeated his enemy. Now, humanity is another aspect of creation that must now learn how to defeat his enemy. Because the safety of the heavens, the perpetuity of the heavens, is not just God's responsibility. It said Michael went to war with Lucifer. Oh, come on in here. The safety of the heavens wasn't just God's responsibility, and the safety of earth is not just God's responsibility. That's why he said, whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loose, whatever sins you retain are retained, whatever sins you commit are committed. Why? It's not just our responsibility. We took care of securing our world and ridding our species of this problem. Now you must do the same thing in your world so that no matter where that fleeing serpent tries to go, he will know he will be defeated by the children of God. Oh, I don't know if anybody's understanding. Periscope, I don't know if you're getting this today. Facebook, I don't know if you're getting this today. I know that y'all in the house need to understand this thing. God is out to make victors out of everyone in his creation. Nothing in my creation will be weaker than my enemies. For this reason I came, not only because I loved you, but I needed to give you something, light and life, power and authority to defeat my enemy. Nothing in my creation. It said the weakness of God is stronger than man. So nothing that's going to be attached to him is going to be weaker and inferior and feeble. Oh, come on here. Everything God made must become indomitable. I want you to tell that to your neighbor. I want you to tell that, post that on your refrigerator at your house. Oh, come on in this place today. Indomitable. And indomitable means that he has to teach you how to become, okay, a dominionaire. He has to teach you how to take dominion. Dominate. Because everything, you can't be Almighty God, put your spirit in somebody, make them a new creation, and they can't be indomitable like he is. Oh, come on. As he is, so are we. John, right? As he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. Put that on your mirror in the bathroom so you can remind yourself in the morning that as God is, I am also in this world. Right. And he didn't hide from his problems. He didn't shrink from his problems. They took him on. You want to take us on? We're going to take you on. And God says, I have to remind you who I am. Sometimes your parents have to remind you who they are. See, you wasn't going to run up on Dr. Bola and Bryce, but y'all know that, don't you? Because you can't run up on her now. Hey, praise the Lord, church. But you can't expect that God is going to have you be weak, be the weak link in the food chain of creation. It's like your parents sent you back out there to the bully that's kicking your behind and said, you come home when you defeat him. You'll come home when you defeat him. Why are bad things happening to you? Because you didn't subdue your enemy. And it ain't just you singular. I'm talking about the collective body of Christ. Somebody asked you that again and try to ask you, where was God? Ask them, where were you? Did your spirit show up? Did your strength show up? Did your power and all the things that you have sitting in heavenly places, did that show up? Because every time somebody steps in Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. He showed up. Oh, come on in here. Y'all stay with me. Because, see, I know this technology going to act up today because you see where we're headed, right? You see where we're going in this moment. I got to stand up today. Is that all right? Because sometimes you just got to stand up on an issue. Sometimes you just got to stand up on some things. Especially when you've been sitting down and sitting under something so long, you just got to stand up on those issues. Does that make sense? Y'all stay with me. Ah, God cannot have you not be able to defeat his enemies and him tell us that we are kings and priests. You can't be a king and a priest. Kings go to war and defeat their problems. Kings go to war and defeat their problems. They don't sit down and try to, okay, nurse them and, okay. And that's the deal. When they start, because let me tell you something, saints of the Most High God, we are coming in the season where they're going to start trying to vilify Jesus Christ and make him the heavy for everything. Well, how come God? And why didn't God? Why can't you? See, it says Christ in you. So either Christ is not showing up in you or you have never been in Christ. Because when Christ shows up, when people speak to him, he stepped back to them. He did not go off somewhere. Y'all with me? Because we're going to do it. We're going to get it right in the place. I don't want my Periscope people to not get up in the juice. Facebook, y'all keep holding on. Okay? Y'all keep holding on tonight. I want you to hold on to this word. I want you to hold on to this word. Like David said, he held on to the law. He bound that thing to the frontlets of his mind. He bound that thing to the hand. We're in that place where you got to hold on to Jesus Christ like that. Because I'm going to tell you what, you got everything fighting to take it from you. And it's coming in every fashion and form you can name. Name a way. Name away. It's in your job. Name away. It's at your church. Name away. They're threatening your money to buy your loyalty to the opposition. Oh, come on here. They're threatening your businesses to buy your loyalty to the opposition. They're threatening your churches. They're threatening your character. Name something that is not under attack to try to get you to convert to the other side. Oh, come on in here. But every time they challenged Jesus Christ, he showed up. I dare to say he showed up. Christ in you. Christ shows up. Christ shows up. Name a time when the enemy was present and he didn't show up and make himself known. So there's something wrong with our degree of faith. We got to get out of the mustard seed. Somehow this thing has got to come into something. We got to get out of that mustard seed, or we're going to need a whole lot more seed so we can become a tree of something as the collective body of Christ. Because we have got to get to the place that hallelujah, Jesus, we have got to get to the place that we are able to show up in our faith. Not fall on our sword, but show up in our faith. Because we got Christians committing suicide, not just in the natural, but in the flesh. Abandoning ship, turning away from Jesus Christ at the first light of trouble. Somebody says one thing wrong that they don't like about Christianity. Well, I ain't really a Christian like that. I'm just spiritual. I read this deplorable article from somebody said a letter from a Christian to, you know, who's fed up and tired of Christians. Because we're always out there protesting and fighting and doing all this kind of stuff, and we just need to walk in love and hair and peace and hair grease and all of these types of things. Now, tell me that when the madman of Gadara was tearing up the cave, that Jesus sat down and negotiated with him. And that he negotiated with those devils that he threw into the pig. That was his, that was his only grace in that moment. I had one concession. You can go in them pigs, but you go. We don't have the power we know we should have when we read that scripture, because the enemy has us constantly negotiating with terrorists. We are being terrorized in our lives, in our homes. And I'm not talking about just the terrorism of the persecution that's coming against the church. But how many of y'all know that your prayer life is even more difficult? Your worship life, you got things showing up in your dreams now, things showing up in your home. It's almost like, oh my God, is this like free access? Okay? Is this like open season? And I'm not just talking about this open season, because people are carrying picket signs and writing terrible things about us on Facebook. Open season on your faith. Open season on your home. Open season on your body. Open season on your children. Open season on your marriage. Open season on your money. Open season on your job. Open season in your life. Never have we had to press that hard. There was a time that you could just go in the spirit and then you knew the Lord was there. In fact, America was flowing with milk and honey for a season. You didn't have to be in the spirit to feel Jesus Christ. You could be drunk and high at the club. And Jesus showing up. And now devils are showing up. Who's meeting you first in the spirit now? Okay. We went somewhere, didn't we? We went somewhere, didn't we? Who is meeting you right now in the spirit? So this attack isn't just, this onslaught, y'all got to understand, you know, when you're a prophet, you just get the passion of the Lord, because he is ready to come on here. He needs to mobilize and galvanize his people and say, wake up in Jesus' name, wake up. And recognize that our nation and our kingdom, and I'm not just talking about America, because it decided to side with Jesus Christ, but I'm talking about the nation of Jesus Christ being under attack. And shifting. We've got to get back to the place that the word of God is true again. Either we are who we are as the offspring of the Godhead, or we should have never said the prayer and done anything with this man. Either we are a new creation or we're nothing. And we should bow out gracefully. Either God's word is true and Jesus is alive, or he died and never got up. This can't be a gospel. This has got to be a living epistle. This cannot be a sermon. This has got to be our lifestyle in action. We have got to be able to produce and perform what we are, as we are. God is waiting. He's sitting there like, come on. See, you know, we as humans can't always understand this, but if you watch this in the animal kingdom, just go with me for a minute. Is that okay? When you watch this in the animal kingdom, you see it. When they have to train their young to automatically know two things, how to eat and survive. Their life is about threat detection. You're talking about, you can see a group of wildebeest gathered out there, and I'm telling you what, it doesn't seem like nothing moving. All of a sudden, at once, they take off. You didn't see anything. You get the one leader hearing something from afar off and knows that a threat is around. So what do the parents do? After they get to a certain age, they say, you go and fight. You go and get your dinner, which means you have to face off with something so that you can just eat. You go. Come on. Go, 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 go. You go, 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 go. And that is where God is right now with his people, and that's where he is with the church. Go, go, go. Come on, go. No. Don't sit down. Don't run. Don't hide. Go, 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 go. Okay? And where's the world disappointed like they were in the early apostles in the Bible? Why can't we? They can't cast out this devil. Jesus, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And what if they waking up and realizing about us? Well, they can't do it. They can't do it. We got this thing, because they can't do it. They can't do it. And not only can they not do it, but they're not believing it anymore. Because when you believe it, you try. I love those little Disney animal movies where the little kid is trying. I'm going to do it. One day I'm going to be just like my parents. One day I'm going to do it. and God is waiting for us to take on the same posture. And I'm not just talking about the signs that follow all those that believe healing the sick and all of this, okay? Those are basic signs. We are dealing with something bigger than just people needing healing. We have to take down a prince that is trying to hijack our nation. And, well, already done tried to hijack the church. I told a friend of mine, I said, you know we're under an antichrist spirit when you have more and more people who want to vilify Christ for everything. I hate the church. I can't stand this. Well, you know church people. You know Christians. We have never thought about that being the modus operandi of the antichrist spirit to get you to the place that your heart is so hard that you don't want to hear anything from God again. And the communications between heaven and earth have stopped. And there is your power. And there is your strength. And there is your resource to defeat this thing that's been bound to the earth. You look at how many Christians have become hard-hearted and don't realize it. The sensitivity towards God's spirit has diminished. We're not as sensitive anymore. We're angry and bitter and frustrated and disillusioned. Don't want to pray. Don't want to go to church. Leave me alone. If anybody mentioned Christ, I'm gone. And you a Christian. This is the church I'm talking about. We ain't talking about the people on the street who don't want to take the tracks. Or going to pass you theirs and say, oh, you're a Christian? Oh, well, you know, I'm a Buddhist, and you should check out our little yoga site. I'm trying to save you, and you're giving me breathing techniques. Now, come on in here. The fastest growing evangelical movement is Wicca. And if you think your kids may not be dabbling, think again. They're being pressured to engage in this in a supernatural world that we at church didn't equip them to handle. Because while we were having concerts and putting on movies, they're going to their friends to learn about these other practices and other forms of worship. Oh, is that okay to say? Other forms of worship. Pay attention now to what starts showing up in your house. Objects and symbols, bracelets out of nowhere that everybody's wearing, necklaces out of nowhere that your kid just has to have. Because this is not just about the fashion, it's about them aligning themselves with a group, a spiritual group. Y'all with me? I don't know how we got here, but I'm just going to go with it because of where we are right now. And as parents, many are defenseless because you are not aware of the trends, the cultural worship trends that are out there right now. They're coming home with books that they want to read, things that are planting seeds of indoctrination. We think that the only way you plant seeds is to get money in the harvest for something you sowed in church. No, no. The songs are now literally anointed, if you will. They are seed planters so that people, Christians even themselves, will become hard-hearted towards God. Why is your life messed up? Where is Jesus Christ? Is he really powerful? Can he really do it? His name is in a lot of secular music right now. I don't know if anybody picked that up. And then I got some witnesses here in the house, Periscope. Y'all can be honest with me. His name is in a lot. Al, would you agree to? It's in a lot of, they're making fun of it. They're using a lot of our slingo showing up. I have a guy singing about walking on water so and doing all these miracles so that he can impress the girl, like, okay, he's going to be Jesus Christ. I said, this is where we go. Where did we go? Why? To get you desensitized and hard-hearted towards your God. You don't realize that the reason why it's getting harder and harder to pray and worship and even want to go to church because you have more and more outlets literally planting thoughts, subliminal and otherwise, in your mind and in your spirit to not want to do this man. To have issues with him and his kingdom for whatever reason. Sickness, disease, loss, whatever. That's why I say you have to pay attention now because the enemy is trying to vilify your God. But what did we say at the beginning of this? God was the first victim attempt of this villain. You have to tell people that. No, no, that's why Jesus Christ came down here, because it was a problem. See, that's why we had to get on the cross, because bad things were happening to people all over the place. Us first. The angels first. Melchizedek first. Oh, y'all with me? It happened there first. So we have to get into another posture. We have to begin to talk differently, get back into this thing, and start recognizing, take nothing for granted. Take nothing for granted. Not a TV show, not a song, okay? Somebody hands you a piece of fashion. Why would you want me to wear that? Not because you're trying to be religious, but you recognize that you're being hunted. You're not trying to be religious. You're being hunted. And that's not a reality that you'll get. That's not a message you're going to get out of the evangelical empire because Jesus loves you and did everything. Jesus loves you, and he's trying to tell you you're being hunted. And just like how it is when you watch that in the animal kingdom, their senses are so heightened and acute because they are aware. They are aware that all the days of their lives, they're being hunted. And everything's about surviving the hunt. Is that okay to say? Surviving the hunt. We've been teaching you how to just deal with the religion and be upset with doctrine and all of these things that don't profit or count. But God says you have to walk around with the reality that you are being hunted. Well, God's going to do it and God's going to save me. Yes, Christ in you is what's going to save you. Christ in you. I'm going to say it again. Christ in you is what's going to save you. And I'm not talking about Christ in you so I can just sit back and, no, as in you need to be like Christ. You need to be able to respond to your situations as he did in the flesh. He was the first of our kind. The first Christian was Christ. He taught us how to do Christianity through his own life. Oh, y'all ready? Y'all with me on that? Jesus Christ taught you how to be a Christian through his own life. How he lived his own life before God. And all the things he exercised in the flesh. That's why it was important for him to say, no, I set aside my divine privileges. He wanted to let you know I'm meek, I'm lowly, I'm a servant. Why? Because he wanted us to just, you know that he was humble pie? Absolutely not. He wanted us to know I am just like you at this point. And everything I do as you will. Oh, come on in here. I don't have any special thing because I'm the Son of God. What makes me the Son of God is the Spirit at work in me. What made Jesus Christ the Son of God is the Spirit at work in him, not the divine power he had when he was seated in the place as God. Y'all with me? Because a lot of times we think that Jesus had extra. Oh, we can't be like Christ because he was God. So are you. As he is, so are we. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. He was showing him how to be God in the flesh, which is why he put the God of the heavens aside. But y'all ain't going to be ruling my world. I'm going to put that aside and show you how to be God in the flesh so you can rule over your world. Y'all with me? Okay, come on in the place. Because, see, before the garden, God went through. Before the garden, tragedy struck. Before the garden, there was loss. There was murder. There was lies. There was deception. There was defeat. There was all of those things before the garden. So you, what you're living in the flesh is nothing that did not happen before the garden. You got to shift your perspective because the enemy will take you out. Where was God? And why couldn't God? And when he was off at the beginning, before he put you in flesh, defeating the enemy that's tormenting you now. He was in the heavens, defeating your enemy before this moment. That is why he can provide and supply you with what you need now. Provision means he did it beforehand. So he supplied you beforehand with grace. Grace came before the garden. Redemption came before the garden. Oh, come on. All of that came before Adam did anything. Because we keep teaching you that Adam was the catalyst. No, he was a casualty. He wasn't a catalyst. Adam was a casualty of what took place in the heavens, which is why God had no other options. He said, well, sin is here, so let's start setting the plan in motion for us to deal with this thing. It's here. It's here now. A friend of mine has a wonderful blog. He'll laugh if he goes back and listens to this. He has a wonderful blog where he does movie critiques, and it's called I Can't Unsee That. Isn't that funny? So I can't unsee that. So no matter what it is, what kind of film it is, I can't go back. Think about that. When sin came into existence, we can't unsee that. The angels could not unsee what they saw. They can't unlive that. Oh, okay. So when people are saying, why didn't God just get rid of sin? Why didn't he just eradicate it? Why didn't he just wipe out the devil? Well, they can't unsee. Even if he destroyed the devil, the angels who experienced what Lucifer did cannot unlive that. Let's think about it. Tragically, unfortunately, let's talk about a tragedy. You think about a woman who may have been raped or a person who may have been abused. The person who abused them is in jail, but they can't unlive that. So the person that committed the crime has been taken out of the way, and yet they're still tormented every night. They're still going through. They're still living that experience again and again and again. The anger, the fear, the wrath, the hopelessness, all of it still coming back each and every time. So there is nobody physically there anymore, but they can't unlive what impressed or impacted their spirit. So even if God got rid of Lucifer, they couldn't unlive that. It would still go on and on and on until it is dealt with. Conceived. It has to give birth. What Lucifer was impregnated with had to give birth. He had to do something with that knowledge. Oh, come on. I don't know. Prophet Ashley, is it making sense to you? He had to do something with that information. When he was exposed to a knowledge of a way of doing life outside of God, he had to do something with that information. He couldn't unknow that. Unless you take a memory-erasing drug, and even then, here's the irony, your flesh will no longer know it, but your soul has never forgotten it. Come on, y'all. Y'all with me on Periscope? So even if they wipe your mind out so that you can't, in the physical world, remember anything that happened to you, your soul remembers. You can't unknow it. If somebody exposes you to something, you can't unknow it. You have to choose what to do with it. That's why God says the word of God is living. It doesn't die. It doesn't die. Nothing that God brought into existence can die, not even evil, which is why he's putting it in hell. He's quarantining it in hell because it can't die. The word of God is living. The word of God is living, but the word of God is living. Think about every word that he spoke and know that it is alive. That's why he said it doesn't matter if it's a cursing or a blessing. It must live. If it came out of God's world, it must live. Y'all with me still? So if the word of God is living, and in the beginning, before the garden, in the beginning was the word, they couldn't unknow that. That's why it wasn't just as easy as wiping out Satan and crushing him and us not having to live this experience. Because somebody had the knowledge of sin. When that thing entered Lucifer, he had the knowledge of it now. Why do you think God said what he said in Genesis? Man will now be like us, knowing both good and evil. Even if Adam repented or could repent, he could not know what he just learned. He had to be able to make a choice about that information. So now he said he's like us, knowing both good and evil. Let's take that down the line to Hebrews 5:14 when it talks about having your senses exercised. Now it's about you being able to make choices, exercising, becoming first skilled in the word of righteousness so that you can train your senses to know the difference between good and evil, because you can't unknow either. You can only make a decision, which is why in Isaiah, what they say about Jesus Christ, he learned to refuse the evil and choose the good. That's your only option, is to refuse the evil and choose the good. But you can't wipe away the memory of the experience and knowledge of sin and knowing that there's an alternative to God out there. You can't unknow that. You can post that one too. You can't unknow that. So taking away the enemy and locking him in the bottomless pit would not stop sin from existing, because we've all been exposed to it. We all know it now. All we can do with the information we have is make a decision every moment of every day to refuse the evil and choose the good. That's the only options we really have. Refuse the evil and choose the good. But it ain't going nowhere. Sin lies at your door. Is that what he said to Cain? Sin lies at your door. He didn't say, sin lies at your door, and I'm going to sweep it away with my divine broom. Okay? Like you do your front porch. He didn't say he was going to sweep it away. He said, but you got to choose. If you'll take dominion over it, if you will rule over it, it will rule over you. Right. All you can do with sin is decide, is it going to control you or are you going to control it? Jesus was a faithful high priest who was not only touched with the feeling of our battle with sin. That's what it means when he says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's touched with the feeling of our mortality. Because he now has lived as in the flesh and knows what it's like to be mortal, to die, to battle with death. So he's touched with the feeling of our issues in the flesh as mortal beings. And what did he have to discover as people in the flesh? You got to make a decision. If sin will rule you, why do you think it was important for him to crush that serpent? Because he had to remind me. That's the movement that goes back to the garden. You will not rule over me. But he said, she will bruise your heel. Okay, you will bruise her heel, and she will bruise your head, your authority, your rulership. The only decision at this point, because of Lucifer's actions in the heavenly places, is for you to make the decision whether sin is going to rule you or you're going to rule it. But erasing it and getting rid of it and just trying to hit the reset button, like go back to factory settings on creation, is not going to happen. Because we think that we could just go back to the factory setting and not have to live this. Well, then I wouldn't have to be sick and in disease and in trial and in trip. Mm-mm. You can't unknow it. Adam and Eve could never go back and not knowing the reality of sin. That's why he said they're like us now. They're going to have to make a choice. Your world has now entered into our world's issue. You're going to have to make a choice. What's going to rule on earth? What's going to rule on earth? It's a powerful prophecy that God decreed from the beginning that the righteous would ultimately inherit it, because it was going to be a battle. The only thing God wants walking around are the people that want to keep creation alive. If you want to kill creation, you are going to hell. Are we not supposed to say that anymore? I think that's, oh, you know what? I'm sorry, Periscope. Hold on. I just want to let you people know today that Jesus loved you so, so much. He would never do anything that will hurt you, that will harm you, or that will make you afraid. I apologize if that was offensive. It was not my intention to be offensive. I don't want to be that judgmental, legalistic, and, you know, exclusive Christian. I want to be open and loving to all. So if you felt like that what I just said didn't make you feel loved by God, then forgive me. So like I said, God is not going to allow you to destroy his creation. We think this thing is about churches and sects and denominations and belief systems. No, it comes down to very simple things. God's preservation of himself and what he brought into existence. As Dr. Price says, God's going to defend God. Because he knows if he doesn't exist, then neither do you. That's like us saying we're going to be independent. We're not going to have a government. Hold on, I'm just playing out the scenario. Okay? Who will defend you and protect you? God can't defend you if he is being annihilated. That love that you want him to have for the world, okay, won't be around if he's destroyed. So the first thing we must do is make sure we protect the king and the source of our life and the power that has the ability to defend it, heaven and earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. That's why he says, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. The world's going to have tribulation, but in me you can have peace. Why? Because I have all authority over heaven and earth. So no matter what you see and no matter what it looks like and what's playing out in your life, never forget that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. There's not one thing in creation that can destroy, that can annihilate, that can do anything to you that the God of all authority in heaven and earth can't defend, because he made it. He says, oh, no, I run both realms now. You don't have to worry about that. I'll never leave you or forsake you because I own this thing now. I run this. I run heaven and earth. I run everything here. You don't have to worry about that. He kept telling them to cheer up and not lose heart, because we run this. Right now, we're just letting the thing play out. We're giving everybody an opportunity to make some decisions. But when we're done, trust me, all authority in heaven and earth. What's the end game? New heaven, new earth. Y'all thinking about that? How many of y'all driving with that today? Periscope, you driving with that? Y'all driving with that? You see where we are? This is why we have to know what happened before the garden. Because, see, we're tripped up by what we couldn't stop in the garden. We were tripped up by that as believers. What we couldn't stop from happening at the foundation of the world. But God says it's what happened before Adam did anything that you can take peace in. Because he said, not only did I watch Satan fall like lightning, but we already defeated him. We already defeated him. And we came back into your world to show you how. In the fullness of time, when they were ready to end Satan's age. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. When they were ready to end Satan's age, they came back in time to show us how to defeat them. Now you go. Now you do. Now this is the power you're going to have, because his age is over. And let me tell you something. Y'all ought to be offended and defensive about them bringing these other gods back and their rituals and trying to bring us back under bondage. Jesus said, no. I defeated them. And you should be offended that they're trying to take his place or smash him into some pantheon. Why does he have to share a space with things he created? Okay? Why do I need to share a place with what I made? Oh, because most of you don't know. You don't know. That's what he made. He made those one-third that's trying to defy him. See, I made you. I created you. Come on here. That's why Dr. Price says that when it comes to Christianity, it's about two immutable things. Which two immutable things are that? Gods and nations. This thing called Christ is all about gods and people. We made it about religion, doctrine, denominations, sex, clothes, skirts, attitudes, whatever, demeanors, rights. Come on here. We made it all about that. But for God, it's very simple. Gods and people. Gods and people. Christians who are listening today, never forget this. Share this with everybody you know. Everything about Christianity is about facing off with the gods that tried to destroy God at the beginning of time. Or before there was time in eternity. It's about gods. Plural. We all say the infamous story. Well, Lucifer wanted to, you know, ascend his throne above the sky. It was a praise and worship. He was more than a praise and worship, but that's, I ain't going to go there. Man down, leaving him. We're going to drop that and kick it under the table. okay? But come on here. Let's be real. Why was he trying to ascend his throne? Why was he trying to do that? Because he wanted to be a God. And you know what was so nice about Jesus Christ? He did make him one. Oh, you want to be a God? You can be a God. You're going to be the God over death. And you and all these people can be gods. Which is why we have Buddha, which is why we have Krishna, which is why we have Brahma, which is why we have Allah, because they wanted to be gods. And God said, sure, you'll be the God over the dead. And everything that wants to live is coming with me. That's why we have them. Because you got all, we're sitting down having disputes and useless arguments and all those things, not realizing that before the garden, it wasn't about what was in some Bible or not in some Bible. It was about God trying to take over God's creation. It was just that simple. So he gave them the authority. There's a reason why he is a ruler over darkness. He gave him the authority to rule over death and everything that wants to stay dead. He said they call themselves gods and are not. Why? Because by legitimate authority, they are not God. But they took the station of God. Oh, come on. And caused people to follow them and worship them. They became the spiritual resource for them. Oh, come on in here. That's why we had, this is important, because we got a lot of people out here to tell you now, Allah and Jesus Christ are the same. All these deities are the same. And we know by our own spirits why, but we don't know why. We don't know eternally and biblically and historically why. Because even spiritualists know something that we as Christians haven't tapped into. And that God is not his name, which is why he gave a name to Israel and he gave a name to the planet. It's an office. It's a seat of authority. And that's what Satan wanted, the seat of authority. That's why he said now we have all these other gods, little g, who are trying to take seats of authority in creation. Oh, come on in here. It's not his name. Well, it's just another name for God. There's a lot of them out there, so what are we saying? Who are we talking about? Are y'all with me today? Did y'all enjoy that? I don't know how we got there, but praise the Lord, saints. I think it's important. Yes, praise God. I think it's important that we start knowing how to defend this thing and how to answer these questions. Because they will take you out with all of the issues of the flesh. Never forget that the weapons of the enemy's warfare are carnal. Are carnal, which means he's going to work your carnage. He's going to work your flesh and the things of the flesh to deceive you, which is why God says the only way to defeat him is to not fight his fight, but to get above this and do this thing from the heavenly places, from the spiritual world that defeated him. Okay. See, you got to use the weapons of the world that already defeated him. You have to use the weapons of the world that already defeated him, not the weapons of the world that he's controlling. So when you start choosing to work things in the flesh, you're not going to beat him because he set up the laws and the customs and the rules for flesh and the rules for death and the rules for mortality. He set those rules up. But you have to go back into the world where he first lost. You have to remind him of his first defeat. Okay. That was the cross was his second defeat. But his first defeat was in heavenly places when he took on Christ the first time on in his territory. So you have to go back to the place of the first victory and triumph. You have to fight with those weapons and not the weapons down here that are passing and fading away, that are corrupt. Y'all with me? That are corrupt. You have to fight from the world where you have the authority and the preeminence. Oh, come on in here. That's why he wants to wipe Christianity out. We think it's because of a thousand things. We think it's because we're too judgmental and we always sending people to hell. No, it's because we have the authority to wipe out these gods. We're carrying the power of their first defeat. Why did he say that? Why, when Jesus Christ rolled in the scene, what are you doing here? You son of God? You here to tempt us for our time? Why? Because they trembling. Why? Because they remember their first defeat. It's like going back and meeting the bully that knocked you out. You like, ooh, okay. You 50 years old and it's still, ooh. yeah. Honey, your mind go right on back in, doesn't it? You go right all up in the place. Because why? You remember what brought you down and exposed your weakness and vulnerability. You remember that. And we don't remind the enemy that he's got weaknesses. He's always reminding us that we ain't perfect. We only human. We can't do it. So he's always reminding humanity of their weakness. Oh, come on. Ain't nobody heard that today. But he's always reminding us of our weakness so that we can continue to succumb to that defeat. But Jesus Christ came to say what? What did he say about you? But you are more than conquerors. You're overcomers by the blood. He's reminding us of the power we have in heaven and who we are in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Don't let the mind of Satan be in you, reminding you of your human defeat. Satan wants to remind us of the garden, how we fell in the garden. That's what he wants to remind us of, our defeat under Adam. But the last Adam comes to remind us that death, where is your sting? That this whole thing has been swallowed up in victory. That it's over. I'm going to remind you of your defeat in heaven. I saw you fall. I watched you get defeated. I watched you take you out. And I want to remind you of your defeat there. So the next time he reminds you of you not being perfect and you being bankrupt, you remind him that who you are as a new creation, that you're the offspring of the Godhead. You're the ethnicity of the divine. That you have this hope in you and you have this power in you through Christ Jesus. That is what you want to remind Satan. Stop letting his testimony of your weaknesses and how you fell apart in the garden be the last word on your life and be the last word on your situation. There's a reason why we got another Adam. Oh, come on in here today. There's a reason why. And I leave you with that word. Stop buying into that doctrine that you're only human and that you're weak. He's taking you back to the beginning. He's taking you back to the garden and not your estate in heavenly places. Oh, come on in here. Don't you forsake your first estate. Don't you do it. You began in heaven. You began in heaven. So when he reminds you of that fallen place, but I'm seated where? Where am I seated? Where am I seated? But where am I stationed? Where am I at right now in Jesus Christ? I want y'all to not forget that this week. As we leave today, I want you to remember who you are. Don't go back to the garden where he got the upper hand. Go back to Christ on that cross, coming out of that grave and ascending on high and bringing you with him over the realm of darkness. I want you to take that with you this week. Let's give God a praise. Thank you for listening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know, you know what, Prophet Jesus is going to come down and say something. I don't know, y'all. I'm a house on fire today. I'm trying to just come on and praise God. But he wants us to get a message across. Stop that imperfection talk. Stop being churches that are perfect for imperfect people. Stop calling yourself the imperfection. Stop telling that lying testimony. Stop telling Satan's testimony about us. Stop repeating his gospel. Stop spreading his gospel. Stop teaching his gospel. Stop preaching his gospel. We are not those people. We are Christ. Sons of God means that we are above and not beneath. And that's just not in your money. That's in your life. That's in your walk. That's in everything concerning you. Stop preaching the gospel of the fallen man. And start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, of who he is in us. Start preaching the new creation. And stop preaching our weaknesses. And succumbing to Satan's victory in the garden. That's over. All things have become new. Walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Prophet, you better come get this mic because that's what it's got to be today.
word